The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday. Good to talk to you. A lot of good sports talk. Revolves around coaches, some players, former players. We got 2 hours of good fun talk. Carmelo Anthony deal, still kind of up in the air, saying it's done, some saying it's not. It's all going to hinge on one thing. Thought it was going to hinge a lot on Chauncey Billups and his ability not to want to go. But eventually I think Chauncey Billups will end up being back in the front office of the Denver Nuggets or somebody. He's from Denver and is one of the great leaders and one of the great people in this league. But the deal is going to hinge a lot on is Carmelo Anthony in this 500-player trade, which will be, according to the bodies that are on there, which will end up being the biggest trade in NBA history involving three or four teams, just the number of bodies. But if which would also get Rip Hamilton from Detroit over into New Jersey, and then you get Billups and you get Carmelo Anthony, but a lot of it's going to hinge on Carmelo Anthony. Does he want to re-sign a long-term deal? You can't just sign him and then him be gone when he can opt out. So that'll be that deal. We'll talk about that. It's obviously still it's up and down. We've been having this talk for 4 months. Seems to get closer, then goes away. Seems to get closer, then goes away. But the Nuggets are about to be, if it does go, the Nuggets are about to be gutted from their team. Your two best players are gone. Best leader, best player, Billups and Anthony. It makes it really tough. So we'll see how that goes. Lawrence Taylor, I don't even know really how to react to this. I don't know how to react about LT. I know what he did was wrong. It sickens my stomach. It does. It sickens my stomach. I'm not one to judge. I mean, but when it comes to that kind of stuff, I don't get it. And I don't understand it. But, you know, like I said, everybody out there has some kind of skeleton or some kind of thing that they're not proud of or five things they're not proud of. I don't get the whole, how can I put the what he did. I don't understand it. And I know he's had drug issues in the past and you know, a lot of things. I actually feel bad for him because he obviously needs help. I don't think there's any question about it. I feel bad for the people involved and for the female involved in what he did. There's no question about that. But I just feel bad for everybody involved because it's an awful, awful situation. But apparently the judge and the courts didn't think it was that bad because he's not going to jail. I believe he's got to register as a sex offender, I think. I read that, but, you know, he's getting probation and you know, he gets to go, doesn't have to spend any time in jail. In this case, I guess it's good to be Lawrence Taylor. It's good to be Lawrence Taylor. Those kind of things, though, when it involves anything that involves children, underage sex, abuse of children or spouses or girlfriends or significant others, females, women, elderly, animals. I think those all fall into the heinous crime. And I'm one of those guys when it comes to, like, abuse or any of that kind of stuff, that I gotta lock him up and throw away the key. But Lawrence Taylor won't spend any time in jail, and maybe at some point he'll grow up and realize, you know, like I said, make a mistake, make a second mistake, make a third mistake. There's got to come a point in time when a man in his 50s has to wake up and realize, you know what, maybe I better live better. Maybe I better make better decisions, because the truth be told, Lawrence Taylor may be the greatest player at his position. We talk about Jerry Rice dominating his. The next closest to being the guy who is like, change the game at his position might be Lawrence Taylor. But this isn't about on the field. But he sure as heck could take his star power as a player. And while he can parlay that into appearances for money and doing commercials, which we've seen him do and the rest of it, he could sure parlay that into going out and making a difference in the world and teaching, whether going to prisons and teaching guys how to be better, or going into school systems in the proper way, which I don't know if they'll let him now, considering where it's at, what he did, but talking up and trying to help others along the way. Like I said, I'm not a judge about this kind of stuff. I just don't like to see any like this happening. When you look at what he did and seeing him in court and handcuffs, you think, man, how did it come to this? But you hope and pray he gets his life in order. And a judge is obviously giving him a chance to get his life in order by not putting him behind bars. But let's hope LT doesn't go down that road again, because then he is going to be in a jumpsuit behind bars. But hopefully he can get close to those people who care about him, and then he can show that he cares about others. And it's probably around time to grow up a little bit. He's not going to be in jail. And one of the great football players of all time, who obviously has some issues that need handled. And I don't know exactly how deep those go, but it seems on the surface. And I don't believe everything I read or hear. I just go by the judgment of the court and what they said. And he pleaded guilty to sex charges and no jail time. So let's hope that he gets his life in order. Because you don't want to see it happen again, and they trust him enough to allow him to stay out of jail. So let's hope that LT capitalizes on this and makes good. And he's sorry for all involved, and it's sad. It's sad. And it kind of leads to my point yesterday, is that if it's just some guy down the street, probably wouldn't be talking much about, we wouldn't know much about it. But because it's him, then we obviously, he's a star, so we're going to go deeper into it. Either way, I don't care if you're a star and make $2 billion. I don't care if you're the guy who works at the local Home Depot. Inexcusable when it comes to that type of thing in your life, that type of thing. And I hope he gets his life back together. I really do. I really do, because, you know, a guy like that who has a platform because of who he is can make a huge difference. That's the one advantage on the other side of actually being a star. Is you have a platform and advantage that other people don't have. They don't have, because people seem to want to listen to these people that are on TV or stars or athletes. Whether we like it or not, that part of it can be good. To Cam Newton's head of the NFL, folks. The number's 888-346-9144. Going to be a first-round draft pick. Depends on who needs him and who wants him. And a lot of teams need quarterbacks. Picking high. The Vikings need a quarterback. 49ers need a quarterback. Carolina needs a quarterback. I mean, the thing about it is what happens, for instance, let's say Blaine Gabbert is the first pick of the first quarterback taken. If he's the first quarterback taken from Missouri, now that Luck is not coming to this draft, what happens is the teams behind him, you start to get nervous and get a run on him. And so this could enhance Cam Newton 4 or 5 picks. But it could also drop him down if, in fact, people say, well, Blaine Gabbert, good player, first-rounder, but I don't need him until the 12th pick, 14th pick, 17th pick. Well, then all that does is move people down. But if all of a sudden team picking in the top five says, I've got to have a quarterback and Gabbert's the best there is, you grab him, which all of a sudden moves Locker up the ladder. And you know what the greatest thing that happened to Jake Locker? The greatest thing that happened is Andrew Luck popping out of the draft, because that just catapulted locker up to probably second or third. It's probably the top four quarterbacks right now are Gabbert, Locker, Newton, and Mallett. And the Newton-Mallett thing will come down to what kind of offense you run. Locker and Gabbert will be able to survive, you know, or are more versatile than, and when I say versatile, you say, what about Cam Newton's versatile? Yeah, he's versatile. He's a great runner. He's not a great passer. He can make the throws, but you can't drop him back 35 times in a game every game right off the bat here until somebody teaches him to be that type of quarterback and expect him to succeed. That's not his strength. Locker, who didn't have a high passing percentage this year, is better at that, and he's got great feet and he's physical. Gabbert's the best passer of them all as far as – or all-around quarterback of them all, and Mallett's got the biggest arm. But Mallett's very, very stiff in the pocket. I mean, he could sidestep you and move, but is not great out of the pocket, throws the ball, awful mechanics, throws sidearm a lot of times, but big upside when it comes to potential. But that you're taking a gamble on a guy like that. You take a major gamble on a guy like that, he is 6'7", can throw it a country mile. But at times, he's like a fastball pitcher where the ball, you know you're bringing it, but man, I'm not sure if I'm going to walk six in a game. That's the problem with Mallett. Enormous potential. Go out and throw for 400 one day, give you five picks the next. Whoever gets him is going to have to be, you better have a quarterback that is, a quarterback coach that's extremely focused on mechanics. As I've said before and we'll tell you again, the most undercoached position in sports is quarterback. It is the most undercoached position. When I say undercoached, I'm not talking about a coach looking at you in the draft and saying, you're a good player. Coach looking at you, on the field and saying, here's our plays and we can go run them, and as long as you can run them, we're good. But that happens all too often. Rarely are you getting, once they get to the NFL, see everybody's putting game plans and the rest of it, paying attention to detail. A lot of coaches won't do it. Oh, the guy's feet were out of position. It's okay. I like the result. He still got it there. But eventually then his feet were out of position. Oh, I didn't like the result because the ball sailed high. See, to me, a guy like Cam Newton and a guy like Ryan Mallett need hardcore watching of every mechanic they do, and almost to the point where it becomes like clockwork every day. When they warm up, and I train quarterbacks now, when they warm up, I force them to warm up the same way every day. When you're playing catch, you know, sometimes you see quarterbacks go out there and just kind of lollygag around and warm up, and then the whistle will blow and they go to the next drill. No. When you step on the field, everything becomes business and routine. It's like a golfer. You will not see Tiger Woods jack around and then become a jack wagon on the golf course and just kind of swinging it this way and screwing around with his mechanics. No. The second that ball is planted on put on a peg in the ground, he does his waggle, does his routine, does every single thing you need to do to get him in that same routine. It's called, you know, your muscle memory. It's the same as a quarterback. Quarterbacks I teach, you do it all and run around with your buddy, but the second I hit the field and say, let's go, I want to warm up the way you stand and warm up and throw. I want the same routine. I want the same routine because then that teaches them the mechanics. Automatically they know, boom, snap, boom, load the ball up. Get it on the back shoulder, and when you release, the elbow's above the shoulder, and your follow-through, you point you grab your other pocket on your follow-through. I mean, that's one of the great things Tim Lincecum's dad taught him growing up, is that Tim Lincecum used to grab dollar bills, and you guys know his wind-up and pitch. He reaches back toward the center field fence, and when he unloads, his follow-through is so good that his dad, they used to grab dollar bills on the follow-through. Now, I like that. And it's the same as the quarterback. Quarterback, your follow-through, I want your throwing arm to reach over on your follow-through and end up grabbing your left pocket. At least that's the goal. Get that right hand into the left pocket or left hand into the right pocket. You know, all those things that the Cam Newtons and Mallets are going to need. You can't just say, oh, they were big-time college players. Just throw them out there on the field and hope for success. And I don't think quarterback coaches at times pay enough attention to detail. And I think it's a mistake, and you'll see the result, good or bad, depending on who's focused on that. So there it is. And the question about Cam Newton, are you shocked? Are you shocked? Now, does this give the NCAA carte blanche now to speed this process up on their investigation? That's my question. And how good a pro will he be? I don't know. Does he end up in Miami? Maybe. Does he end up in Minnesota? Minnesota will take, they'll take anything right now. They're begging, as will the 49ers. We go Tennessee Titans. And there's, it's a good year to be a quarterback, you're wondering, is he a first-rounder? Is he an early first-rounder, mid-first-rounder? It's a good year for that because, you know what, there's about five or six or seven teams. Even if they don't think that if they have somebody on their board that's better than you at a defensive back, but it's close and it's the Tennessee Titans, they're going to take the quarterback. So it's a good year to be a quarterback that could actually have fallen late into the first round. It's a good quarter. It's a good year to be a quarterback because you may increase your draft stock tenfold with the number of teams that need a quarterback and the fact that the clear-cut best one decides he's staying in school. We'll be back talking more football, a little bit of baseball as well. I'm Sean Salisbury, this is Voice America Sports. And did you see Oregon's arena? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network. Get the inside scoop on the Georgia Bulldogs. Tune in to Keelan Johnson on College Football Game Day, on the radio, and every day on KeelanJohnson.com. On Keelan's Keeping It Real Radio, you can talk to Keelan and his former teammates about the Bulldogs, college football, and all things sports. Keelan's the go-to analyst for Bulldog football on pre- and post-game television on KeelanJohnson.com. And now, every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in every college game day for Keelan Johnson, Keeping It Real Radio. Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific. Get ready to talk sports with someone who definitely has an opinion, but respects yours as well. The beginning of every week is Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. We'll talk about what happened this weekend and what to look forward to next weekend. Keenan and his guests are ready to discuss the issues with you about football and sports in general. It's Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. Every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. And make your voice heard.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Folks, did you see Oregon's arena last night or this morning on SportsCenter? Did you see it? Did you see it? My goodness. 888-346-9144. You know what? As much as you might like the uniforms on the national title game, Oregon's got 450,000 different uniforms, it seems, combinations. You know, Nike's about to start. I wonder what they're going to do with the NFL because Reebok's not going to have that much longer. Nike is taking over the NFL uniforms, I believe. I'm not sure what year or when, but I can only wait and see and what they're going to do with NFL uniforms and the spice they're going to add. And if the NFL takes this to an Oregon TCU uniform type, Boise State type level, if they do that, do it that way. Anxious to see how they approach this. But I don't know who did the arena. I don't know if it's Nike that's. I don't know who's paid for the arena floor in Oregon. I don't know. But I can tell you this. Do yourself a favor. turn on SportsCenter, and when they start talking college basketball, they played USC last night. There can be no worse looking arena on the planet. Now, I don't say it again. Okay, I'll get to him in a sec. Anthony's on hold. But I saw it, and I'm going to tell you what, the floor, it looks as if there's parts of the floor. It's such a distraction. It looks as if, dark one area, a little lighter another area. It looks as if the floor didn't get finished. It really did. They forgot to do areas. It is now, maybe it looks better in person, but as a broadcaster or a fan, that's a distraction and really ugly. It's one thing trying to add some spice. It's another thing going overboard. And they're getting to the point where they're almost to the point, and they're a great football program, a great athletic program, that the sports and the arenas and all the things they're doing is becoming too gimmicky for me. You start to lose the fact that you still got to play basketball, and maybe you would like to talk to the players. You know, I've always wondered why you don't talk to players that play in an arena when the architects say, well, what kind of locker room do you guys like? Do you like it taller lockers or maybe a little fatter lockers? What color do you like in here? What do you think we should do? Just to get an idea of the guys that are actually going to be suiting up in it. Maybe the Oregon basketball players could have had a say in, like, you know, this is a little overboard. Once it's done, it's done. I don't like it. Let's get out to Anthony in New York. Atrocious, atrocious arena. What's going on, my man?
Not too much. It's funny. I just actually saw it this morning when I got up. I turned ESPN on, and I thought, when you look at that court, it almost seems like, you know, like DirecTV's having problems with the dish. Like, the digital screen is kind of screwed up. I'm looking,
yes.
And I'm like, it looks like you said, half the floor is unfinished. It almost looks like, you know, when your screen goes out and, like, those digital blocks are all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
It's. I don't know how you're going to watch a game on TV.
I watched 2 minutes of highlights and was. I don't know how I can't watch this. And I don't know, are those like big like pine trees? What is the dark color? What is it, trees or mountains? What are they trying to show us there? What is it?
I think I'm going to have to watch an entire game, and then I decipher what exactly everything is on the court. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't see in a 2 minute highlight what everything was.
Folks, I want you to take these like when they have tournaments, like EA Sports tournaments, and they have like 20 different, like a NASCAR logo filled court. And they have it a tournament, and it's the home court, and where that can be a distraction because there's like logos and the team's logo and other sponsor logos of a tournament in basketball everywhere. I want you to take that and multiply it by about 100.
Yeah.
You can't watch the players. You're so, and I don't know how you find the 3-point line as opposed to inbounds and out of bounds.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's some crazies out there that actually like it.
Yeah,
I think it's the most atrocious basketball floor on the planet.
Yeah, you said it. I think they're taking it to a different level with their, you know, especially with the football uniforms, and there's 107 different combinations they can put on. It's getting crazy now.
How do we get to the point where this give the kind of like the offense in the national title game? I mean, in the special team, a little bit too gimmicky for me.
Yeah, it's getting too crazy.
I mean, I understand it, you know, what Nike wants to do with the uniforms and the rest of it, but there's got to come a point in time. We don't want to turn this into the WFL or some crazy,
right?
You know, back in the day where the uniforms are the talk of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Just
right,
like we never want the officials to be the talk of the game, and you'd like for not the broadcasters to be the talk. You know, you don't want a good broadcast, but you want the players to be the talk of the game.
Right.
And when an arena, it's like in Dallas, no offense, that's a great place.
Yeah.
But when you go watch the game in person,
mm-hmm.
the big screen is so big.
Yeah.
You can't, you watch that more than you do the play on the field. It's
mm-hmm.
such a distraction.
Right. That actually leads me to a question I wanted to ask you, because tonight ends my 2-year boycott of the New York Knicks. I'm actually going to see a Knicks game tonight.
Oh, sweet.
I
year to do it, my man.
Yeah, well, once Donnie Walsh came out and said we're not doing anything till 2010, I said, well, I'm going to be damned if I'm spending any money on tickets to watch you.
Right.
So tonight ends it. I'm actually going. I wanted to ask you, what do you think, out of all of the major sports, what's your favorite to see in person?
In person?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a hell of a question. For me, it would go hockey first.
Yeah, okay, I'm with you.
Now, see, baseball, depending on the venue. For me, if it's Fenway Park, that's first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fenway Park would be first. But hockey first, it's a toss-up. Indy 500 was an unbelievable spectacle, and NASCAR both. Being there
right.
in person was amazing. So I would say in person that. And then I would go at a great arena, like going to Allen Fieldhouse, or if you can get to Cameron Indoor, college hoops game.
Okay.
For me, because of the atmosphere and the way these kids get into it, and why I just love it. So I would go, if it's Fenway Park, that's my favorite place to go in any venue, in any sport, I'd go there first. But, you know, and just any arena around, it would be hockey, then Fenway Park, or if Fenway wasn't involved or Wrigley wasn't involved, then I'd probably go second, a NASCAR or Indy 500 event.
Right.
And then the venue is also depends, and it doesn't even depend on the venue. I just love college hoops, so those three in that order. My last choice to go in person is an NFL game.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that, because I usually have that argument with, like, you know, regular casual sport fans, and they'll tell me, well, what do you like to go to? Because they see I don't go to many, and I'm like, well, out of all the sporting events, the one that I never turn down tickets and the one that I'm willing to pay for is always the New York Rangers. I'll go to any live hockey game, because I feel, and a lot of, it's funny, you'll see a lot of, like, casual sport fans have never even been to a hockey game, and I tell them it's the greatest one to see live. And you said it on your show a week or two ago, and the women that go are unbelievable. It's I don't know what it is, like you said, I don't know whether it's the coldness of the arena or just seeing, but the women that go to hockey games are stunning.
Oh, they love it, and you know why? I think, first of all, I mean, it's, you get to see the players' faces for the most part.
Yes.
You get to see fights, and for some reason they love that.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see it up close. It's just, there's something about it, and there's the grace of being able to skate. If you want to go see hot women, go to a hockey arena. I'm just saying, if that's you, put it this way, people talk about bars. If you want to go with this hot women, go to, like, the Platinum Club at certain arenas, like in between periods. You'll see a dime a dozen. There's a good-looking women at the arena, if that's what you're there for. I like the hockey because I think it's the best sport in person to watch.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. And it's true. If you said, Sean, a regular season hockey game or the Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday, I guess maybe because I've been to it, I got no interest.
Right.
Like, I have no interest in going to it. I mean, I watch it because I cover, but I'd rather watch Super Bowl on TV, like the national title game. While it's been fun to be there, I prefer it on TV because I like the replays.
Right.
I want the replays, and I want the, and maybe it's because of my profession, but football would fall way, way down the ladder. I could tell you, they're NASCAR and Indy 500 and hockey, Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park, Wrigley Field, there's a whole bunch of sporting events I'd go to. Matter of fact, I'd rather go to a World Cup match for the World Cup than I would in person, than I would go to an NFL football game. That falls, of all the major sports, that would fall dear to the bottom. I'd rather go watch Wimbledon than I would NFL Super Bowl.
Right, I gotcha. So I was just curious about that, because hockey's my favorite sport to go on.
Oh, yeah, going in person, it's not close for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, I love it. And then I wanted to talk a little baseball. I saw the Yankees last night gave Soriano a $12 million a year deal.
I was going to talk about that, and I'm glad you brought it up. Yep, $12 million, between 12 and 13, I think, somewhere in there, or 3 years for $12 million.
Yeah.
$36 million to be their setup man for Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, I heard Boris at the beginning of free agency was looking for 3 years, 45. So he came down a little, but I think the Yankees. You know, I know a lot of my close friends are all Yankee fans. They're all excited. Here's the way I look at it. You know, they got Soriano, but you know, last year they had Kerry Wood for half the year, and Kerry Wood posted a sub-1 ERA his entire time with the Yankees. So in my mind, Soriano takes over for Wood, and how much better could they? You know what I mean? It's kind of like he's filling the same spot. It's not like it was a weak spot last year that you're filling.
Yeah, so, Kerry Wood didn't exactly screw the pooch last year.
No, he pitched phenomenal with them the second half of the year.
Yep.
You know, I think Soriano comes in. Soriano's one of these guys. You know, yeah, he 45 saves, posted a sub-2 ERA. But you know, I get a little scared of those guys who post those low ERAs without striking out a guy an inning, because that means guys are putting the ball in play. You know, how much? You know, can he do that again this year? You know, he's going to be put in big spots versus Boston, who's a lefty-heavy team. So is he the guy you're going to bring in those key spots in the eighth?
And,
you know,
and Anthony, think about this. It's not always easy to go from being the guy that you call out of the dugout at the end of a game.
Right. No.
And I know that sounds, people say, what's the difference? Comes in with two outs in the seventh, or comes in the eighth inning. What's the difference in that in the ninth? A huge difference.
Yep.
Attitude-wise, I mean, mentally, emotionally.
Yep.
There's a lot that goes into it. Hang on, too, Anthony. I want to come back with you.
Okay.
Lot that goes into it. So the question is, can he be as effective as a setup guy as he was a closer?
Mm-hmm.
Folks, that'd be, in hitter's terms, that'd be like saying you want to go from the leadoff guy to batting cleanup. I know you think I'm wrong. Or even the leadoff guy to hitting two, where now You got to be able to lay down bunts. You're not as free a swinger. You got to be able to take pitches so the guy behind you can hit. It's a different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
How will Soriano do it? But for $12 million a year, not a bad position to be in to get me, what, at the max, six outs every couple nights, maybe.
Yep.
Maybe six. Three otherwise, two, sometimes four outs. We'll come back and talk about that. Is Soriano a huge get, and what does it do for the Yankees? We'll be back. Anthony will join me for another segment or a few minutes talking sports. I'm Sean Salisbury. This is Voice America Sports. We are unfiltered.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters. We some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping?
Looking to play the ponies?
Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
Take the bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's seansals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, talking. We'll get back to this Yankee talk, and Anthony's joining me. And one real quick point about football. I guess it depends on who you talk about, whether it's me, whether it's Kiper, whether it's you, whether it's anybody else. You got quarterback prospects, the top four in no particular order other than number one. I think everybody agrees that it's Gabbert from Missouri. But then you got Mallett, too, in somebody's eyes. And really doesn't matter what we say. It comes down to the teams that are picking. Do the Vikings like Cam Newton more than Mallett? Do the Carolina Panthers like Jake Locker more than Gabbert? Do you know? So it's going to be interesting to see what order they go in. But as always, it very rarely goes the way you think it's going to go. Back to the Yankees with Soriano. I'm interested to see. I mean, he won't be a disruption as far as personality and the rest of it. I'm just interested to see how difficult the goal is. And that's quite an investment for a guy that you expect to set up. And I don't know if they think that Mariano's going to retire in a year or two and then Soriano's going to take over the closer role. But it's a different mindset to be able to get the ball to Mariano Rivera's hands.
Yeah.
So think about a starter that goes to the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Or a bullpen that goes to the starter, there's an adjustment. And while it's still the bullpen, there's a different mindset that Papelbon has to take on as opposed to Josh Bard.
Right.
There's a different mindset that Soriano has to take on to Mariano Rivera. And so I wonder how, and I wonder if deep down in human nature, that, you know, we know Mariano Rivera is the best closer of all time, but if deep down, does a guy like Soriano say, well, wait a minute, in his own private time when he's sitting with his buddies, say, I'm better than he is now. He's too old.
Yeah, he's crazy if he does think that.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. But you know how human nature is. The guy to say,
oh, yeah.
I can beat a closer. Why am I not?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, between that, like you said, the transition from the ninth to the eighth inning, and I think, you know, listen, granted Tampa Bay was in the playoffs last year, but coming out of the pen, you know, at the Trop, and then coming out of the pen at Yankee Stadium versus the Red Sox, it's two totally different situations.
Yeah, you think?
They're a little bit, you know, so how's he going to react to changing the roles to the eighth inning? I think he's going to be good, you know.
Well, I do, too. I do, too. He's on a team that's going to give him a lot of leads.
Right, you know, he'll be out there, you know, 3-4 days a week, you know. But one thing I wanted to ask you about Soriano, do you think the Red Sox maybe went a little bit overkill on the offensive side, and maybe you think I think Soriano would have made more sense for them than signing a Carl Crawford? Because in my mind, I mean, they brought in Bobby Jenks, and I'm just warning you beforehand, Bobby Jenks is awful. That guy's going to be – I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't make it the entire season.
Yeah, and here's what I'm a little concerned about. Which, I mean, now, hey, let me look at it from two sides.
Okay.
Am I fired up that Gonzo and Carl Crawford are in the same lineup along with a healthy Euclid?
Oh, yeah.
Along with Big Poppy and along with why am I losing my mind? My second baseman.
Pedroia.
Yeah, Pedroia.
Yeah.
What now? Come on. I mean, that's a murder's row in itself.
Oh, it is.
Now, am I bummed that Victor Martinez isn't there? Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's a hell of a player. But that being said, now here's where I know you're going with this, bringing Bobby Jenks in, because all of a sudden they think maybe in the Papelbon's contract's coming up that Bobby Jenks is going to take over for him. I'm not sold on that.
No.
See, Jenks, I don't know what Jenks is going to. It's kind of like a quarterback that plays good. I don't know what Bobby Jenks is showing up.
Right.
That being said, you know, he can explode weight-wise. He can get down. I know players love him.
Mm-hmm.
But Papelbon's going to be in the bullpen. The truth of the matter is, you already got your next closer sitting in your dugout.
Yes.
Because I'm not so sure that if Papelbon struggles at points next year like he did this year. And I was at Papelbon's first save when he got his first save.
Right
here in Texas.
Okay,
he came got his first save in Texas, and my son and I were at the game going, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
Who's this dude? I think it was at the time Keith Folk, and Folk was hurt, and
right,
then the game took over, and bam, Papelbon from that one that week, and he might have got one or two saves in that Texas weekend. And my son and I went to all the games, like, okay,
right,
this guy's bringing it and with some attitude. Well, the guy who sets up, Josh
mm-hmm.
Bard,
yeah.
There's 20 teams in Major League Baseball that wanted him this offseason.
Yeah.
But he was an untouchable by the Red Sox. So the dynamic of, okay, so now if Jenks, Papelbon, and Bard, who's coming in where? Where's Bobby Jenks going to pitch?
And that's the same situation as like a Soriano. Is he going to come in? You know, he's a guy who's closed basically for the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. And now you want to say, okay, well, we don't even know what your role is going to be. Is it going to be the seventh? Is Bard going to pitch the eighth? And then I think the other problem they have is between Papelbon, Bard, and Jenks, you have three guys who are – they're the same pitcher. You know what I mean?
It's overpowering hard stuff.
Right. It's hard, and harder, which
yes.
I think works against you on a given night.
Oh, well, hey, you know what? It's fine and dandy when you got the momentum and you're throwing it up at 99 and your ball's moving. But when if in fact they went – let's say Jenks was seven, Bard eight, and we know Papelbon going in is nine because Papelbon, he's an all-star – season last year, we get it, and he has an opportunity to bounce back and get things done.
Mm-hmm.
That, I understand that part of it. But I don't know if I 97, 98, 99, 3 innings in a row.
Right.
Eventually, by the time you get to Papelbon,
mm-hmm.
it's like, this night, you know how it is. If the ball's not moving, or if you see the pitcher, by that time, 99 really doesn't mean much.
Right.
As long as they stay off high, lay off high, hard fastballs. And you throw them, and players are able to stay off them, which many can't. Then you get to a point where, you know, gosh dang, I'm seeing basically, and you know, while Papelbon and Bard are better than Jenks at this stage of their careers, but you're still seeing, like you said, hard, and harder.
Mm-hmm.
Or hard, harder, and hardest, whoever you want to call it. So I just don't know the Bobby Jenks role. Now, hey, if their starting front, if their starting pitching is healthy in Boston, and their hitting stays healthy, they're going to be dynamic. But it comes down to the back end of this bullpen. While I don't know the dynamic, or all of a sudden you're going to say, hey, Josh, could you move and give us a seventh? And here's Bard. The truth is, of the three, and if I had to part with one of the two of the three, Bard would still be on the roster.
Yeah, he's the youngest and has the biggest upside.
Exactly. So, and I'd say, just like when you brought Papelbon, is there questions wondering if he can do it? Yes. Mm-hmm. But then there comes a point in time with Papelbon, it took me about three games to realize there's your new closer. So
yeah.
I think of all three, the most pressure falls on Papelbon this year. But I don't know why you brought him in, because you have your built-in next end-of-the-game finisher sitting in your bullpen setting up Papelbon as we speak. So, yes, there are concerns, and I know what you're saying, Soriano instead of Crawford. But you know how Boston is, dude.
Yep.
With that, they wanted another left-handed bat in the lineup with that short, powerful foul pole, and they also wanted a table setter depending on what was going on. And they've got a guy who can hit 12, 13 triples, underrated power, can get you on base. And with that middle of the lineup, they're thinking we're going to score 50, 60, 70 extra runs this year.
Yeah, I agree. We have plenty of time to talk about this over the next few months.
No question.
I was actually, after you brought up the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, I went yesterday and I was like just looking. And every time I went through, why am I going to pick one team? Why would I pick the other team? I'd feel confident about the pick, and then you just start thinking again. It's like, no, I'm changing it again. You just keep going back and forth with this game.
Oh, yeah.
To me, the home field means nothing. I'm throwing that completely out. I'm not.
Of all the teams involved, I would say that the home field means far less in this game than it does in the other four games, three games.
The end result was I wound up coming away with Pittsburgh, and the only reason I'm going with Pittsburgh is I think the bye, like we spoke yesterday, bye helping teams. I think Pittsburgh needed this. They needed to rest their offensive line, give Roethlisberger the week off.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. I think Ben's ability to extend plays, and we really didn't see it that much in the last Baltimore-Pittsburgh matchup because of the broken foot. But his ability to extend that play, because Baltimore does a real good job, with pressures.
Absolutely.
If there's a weakness on the Baltimore defense, it's probably the two corners. I could see Mike, Ben extending a couple of plays, hitting Mike Wallace deep. I think he's the big key to the entire game.
No question.
Getting Mike Wallace down the field. And then on the other side of the ball, after I went back and I watched a bunch of the Baltimore-KC game last week, Flacco played well, but I think what his major flaw still is he holds on to the ball a little too long, doesn't have that clock in his head.
Yep.
So, you saw it last week with the Tom Bahaly forcing the fumble, and that set up the only touchdown. I think, he's a little slow still in his reads. He doesn't, feel the pressure, and it came back to haunt him in the Pittsburgh game where Polamalu forced the ball out. I think it's going to come down to one of those plays, a turnover, a fumble, and I think, Pittsburgh's going to win this one, probably low scoring, 17-13, something in that range. But I think it's going to come down to the two quarterbacks. I don't think there's going to be, the defenses are going to stop the run, and it's going to come down to who's going to make the bigger play in the passing game. And I think, Mike, like I said, that's why I think Mike Wallace is the big key as far as that goes.
You know what? I couldn't agree more with you when it comes to, and I'll give my pick later on. I couldn't agree more when it comes to Flacco. See, Joe is on that on that branch right now. Is it a heavy one that breaks? He's a good player. And when I say breaks, doesn't mean he's out of the job. He can do what Aaron Rodgers has done and take his game to another level.
Yes.
His biggest weakness, he's close. He's a big, strong-arm guy who's smart. They like him, good leadership. But his weakness is, and you can't hold the ball against this team.
No.
They're still a little I always do it when I teach quarterbacks. They say, when you break that huddle, I want the thinking done.
Right.
Get to the line of scrimmage now. And when I say thinking, obviously you got to open your eyes and let the defense tell you and dictate where you're going to throw the football. And then you got to react. You can't be a thinker when the ball snaps.
Right.
And I think right now that Flacco at times still holds it too long and is a thinker as opposed to a reactor.
Right.
And Roethlisberger reacts, and that's the advantage here. And against either one of these teams, you can't get into a pissing match with either one of them because they'll both beat your brains in.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes down to this. Hit 3 yards, 4 yards, 7 yards, pound it out. And then it comes, can you handle a Polamalu blitz and hold on to the football too long and he forces you to lay it on the ground? And the other side, if Suggs misses this big fella and lets Ben extend the play,
right,
and Wallace gives you a double move and runs by a corner, that's the difference in the football game.
Yep. That was the thing I kept on coming back to. I could just see that one big play, whether it's an 80-yard touchdown or that one big play, and I don't see Flacco making that play.
And you see Pittsburgh making it, and in truth, Anthony, as I let you go, isn't that what it comes down to in games like this? A lot of times, over the Steelers' runs in these last handful of years, There's been a reverse play from Randall L. Yeah. to Hines Ward. You know, there's always something by them that they get done later, a scramble by Ben. That'll be big plays will be a big part of this in a low-scoring game,
yep.
which will be amazing. Anthony, thanks a lot, buddy. I hope you have an awesome weekend. And real quick before we let you go, so you got Chicago, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, and New England.
Yep, that's it.
Have a great weekend, my man.
All right, you too, Sean.
I appreciate you. Thanks. We'll talk Monday and break this thing down.
All right, sounds good.
Hey, buddy, thanks. Anthony Perrenio, one of the best of all time. Very, very good. Love having him on. We're Unfiltered, coming back, talking more sports. We're not even an hour in yet. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time. Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Heading towards the 11 o'clock hour on the East Coast. And I know way too early on the West Coast, but I love you folks that get up and want to listen to this. Makes me really, really happy. We're here from 9 to 11 Central Time every single day, Monday through Friday. Head into a great, great football weekend, obviously with the playoffs on Saturday and Sunday, divisional round. And you could actually be looking next week at a Seattle-Green Bay-Seattle home game after a 7-9 season. And you know all that's going to do? It's going to eliminate reseeding. By Seattle beating winning their first game, that probably eliminated reseeding how it is. I still think you need to reseed. I just do. Because to me, that exactly explains the story. Seattle does not win if they're in New Orleans. I don't believe they win. I believe they get beat. Therein lies the reason a team that had a better record than you should be going to them, not them coming to you, especially when you played in a far easier division. To me, all last week did was enhance the fact that we need reseeding. That being said, the Seahawks took care of their business under the current rule, and they do have a legitimate shot to beat the Chicago Bears, but some things have to happen. So we'll talk about that. Coach, David Shaw now. Stanford just did the safe and smart thing, I think. Would there other coaches that you could have hired and changed things? But when Andrew Luck came back, it made decisions really, really easy, in my opinion, even though they interviewed some people, to hire David Shaw, your offensive coordinator, the last 4 years as the head coach. I think it became an easy decision. You don't have to change anything. Everything stayed the same. And you wanted to make sure that your quarterback did not have to change his comfortability factor. You build things around your best player. You don't build things around your best coach. Because the coach isn't making any throws or making any tackles. And that's what David Shaw will do. Obviously, the comfort zone with Stanford, the fact that Stanford's been there, that Shaw's been there behind Harbaugh, that he's going to be able to keep the exact same routine, understands what Harbaugh went about and how to recruit it and how to do it, and Shaw's going to continue to do that. That will be his approach. And his quarterback gets to stay happy. Now, who he's going to hire as quarterback coach, heck, I wish it was me. Well, I would love to go interview with Stanford and have a chance to coach that kid. Plus, he runs an offense that I love running, that pro-style offense. It'd be great. But, you know, who knows what Stanford's going to do in that situation. But that's a great, great program and a great, great hire. You know, and nobody, you guys don't know him. You don't know him. All you ever heard about was Jim Harbaugh and Andrew Luck at Stanford. Well, this is the guy who was the offensive coordinator and spent a great deal of time around his quarterback and did a good job. And this is the type of hires I like. It's okay to step out on a limb. It's a safety hire, too. It's not a risky hire. Because if you'd have brought in a Chris Peterson, you're in risk of having to change your offense and wondering if Andrew Luck is comfortable and if you can keep the same going. Continuity is oh so important. Unless your team's getting their ass kicked like Michigan and you need to change things overnight. And that's what Michigan's had to do. And, you know, with Brady Hoke, they're going to have to do – they're completely different. Question there is, if you're Denard Robinson, do you transfer? Or do you try to learn what Hoke's going to do and you make that situation change? But you better make the decision fast because there's a lot of teams that stand in line to get Denard Robinson as their quarterback. Paul Pasqualoni went from the defensive line coach for the Cowboys to the defensive coordinator when Wade Phillips left to the defense that gave up the most points in the National Football League. The most points in their franchise history and one of the worst defenses in the National Football League. Marcus Ware had a monster year, but one of the worst defenses in the National Football League on a very average football team. Paul Pasqualoni, Syracuse's former head coach, a Northeast guy, and I think the Northeast connection is why he's there. He's now the new head coach, and there was all kinds of rumors that Mark Whipple, former offensive coordinator at the U, was going to go in there and they had everything but the job sewn up. Well, Paul Pasqualoni throws his name into the hat. And Syracuse had Pasqualoni, had some good years there when McNabb was a quarterback. And now, with Randy Edsall at Maryland, Paul Pasqualoni is going to be your guy. The question is it the right hire, the smart hire, a good hire? Pasqualoni's been there, knows how to recruit, and he's far more comfortable, obviously, in the Northeast than he is somewhere else. He's a Northeast guy, likes that region of the country. Is it the right one? I don't know. Don't know. But we're going to find out if UConn can continue. Hugh Jackson in Oakland, more than likely going to be the man. The Raiders are a strange, strange group of people, man. When I say that, I guess I'm speaking to Al Davis, is there's no talk, nobody's interviewed. I hope Hugh gets it. I think he'll be good. Came over and did a good job with their offense. I was shocked that Tom Cable got fired, but Hugh can take his game and expand it. I think it's a good hire, but I don't know what the Raiders are waiting for. If you're not interviewing anybody and there's no candidates and you got them, why aren't you announcing it? What are you doing? This just speaks to the constant, I don't understand the Oakland Raiders approach. I don't understand the Oakland Raiders approach. If you love Hugh, it's like if you're a Hall of Famer. If you're a Hall of Famer, why do you got to wait 14 years to get in? If you like the head coach, what are you waiting on? Especially if you're not talking to anybody else. Are you hoping that some guy comes out of the woodwork and you're assuming it's going to be Hugh Jackson, and if a big name comes, you want him, or are you just going to hire him? Hire him. Is he secretly putting a staff together? Is he not? Hire him. The Raiders are strange. I mean, I grew up a diehard Oakland Raider fan in the Madden, Kenny Stabler, Cliff Branch, Fred Biletnikoff, Ted Hendricks days. Otis Sistrunk, George Atkinson, Jack Tatum's. I mean, that was Dave Casper. That's the teams I grew up watching and loving. Mark Van Egan. One of these times I'll tell you some stories about Mark Van Egan. One of them, there was a teammate, and it might have been Charles Filial, but there was a teammate on the team who was pissed at the equipment manager because he didn't understand the jersey, and he wanted his first and last name on his Raider jersey like Van Egan had. Great story. Listen to a Raider friend of mine tell me. He says, yeah, he went in the equipment guy and was kind of pissed off. He said, wait a minute. Well, I only have my last name. I want my first and last name on the jersey, too. And the equipment guy goes, what are you talking about? And he says, well, it's Van Egan, dude. Why's Van Egan got his on there? Well, Van Egan was his last name. It's Mark Van Egan. But he was pissed that he didn't have a chance to have his first and last name on the jersey either. Another time in a Raider locker room, guy gets up on the scale, big dude, stands on the scale to weigh, has a big old huge leather jacket, and a big lineman like that, you got to take the jacket off. Hops up on the scale, says, wait a minute, man, I'm not that, I don't weigh that much. Jumps off the scale, takes the jacket off, drapes the jacket over his arm, and gets back on the scale. Nobody said they were the smartest people in the world, folks, but they are funny. Or how about the one time in Buffalo? See, I leave name outs to protect the innocent. There's a guy in on the it might have been Marcus Patton in the weight room. I'm not sure who. I mean, I know who the other guy was that said it, and the two guys involved, but I'm not going to say it. But one of the players was in there just pounding weights on a bench press. And one of the Buffalo players says, man, look at that. I mean, just amused at how strong, and you know, just, we call it being cock strong. That you just, cock strong is, it's not a sexual term. It's just, man, he's rocked out. He's yoked up. Bam. Diesel, as we like to call it too, as you know. So the guy's Diesel doing it. And finally he looks at his teammate and says, man, how'd he get that strong? The teammate said, oh, dude, it's all in his jeans. And the other teammate says, I got to get me a pair of those. And he wasn't joking. Oh, I got to get me a pair of those. So there's great stories. Many of them have started with the Raiders. That was in Buffalo. Another one that reminds me of is when a former player played in San Diego, was a very good college football player, said, they asked him if he had confidence in his team. He goes, oh, yeah, I got confidence in the offense. I got confidence in the defense. And I got confidence in the special team. So I guess you could say I got confidentiality. And he was serious. So, see, sometimes athletes try to use, and you know what? With all this, there's a lot of smart ones, don't misunderstand, but sometimes people try to use terms and words that maybe don't match or don't quite understand that when you take your jacket off and drape it over your arm, it still weighs the same. And you might want to learn your teammates that Mark Van Egan's name was really not Van Egan. That was his full last name. Or when somebody asks you if you've had a, if the argument and the decision and the problem's over, and a former player says, it's all water under the dam. These are all true stories, folks. And the reason I share these stories is it kind of reminds me of the Raiders. I'm not sure they actually know day-to-day where they're going or what they're saying or doing. If they hire Hugh Jackson, I think it's a hell of a hire because I think the guy gets it. I do. But what are we waiting on? You got combines coming up. Let it go. Take away. What's the mystery? What's the mystery? David Shaw, congratulations in Stanford. Pasqualoni, congratulations in UConn. Mike Leach, I don't understand, my man. Sorry. It's amazing what a lawsuit can do, and all of a sudden now he's got heavy baggage. A team like Tulsa, if you were smart, you'd hire Mike Leach yesterday. Will you? You want to put people in the stands and win? Wake up and find yourself a clue. We'll come back, talk more about this. My man John Fox in Denver. What does that mean for Tim Tebow? We got plenty to talk about. Got to break down my games this weekend and tell you why. Voice America Sports, I'm Sean Southbury. We are unfiltered. And it's all water under the bridge. But as my man said, it was water under the dam. We'll be right back.
Boys, go!
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Hey, did you know Voice America has partnered with the Kidstar Network to expand their reach through Voice America Kids? Voice America Kids will feature talk radio for kids by kids, along with special event programming and live broadcasts. Each program is conveniently archived for on-demand listening at any time. Please check our archives for the latest events and happenings on voiceamericakids.com.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on. It will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need a bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, speak up.
Speak up
or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
A couple other assistant situations that are going on. And let me just send a message to Cowboy fans and Cowboy coaching staff now. Hire Rob Ryan before he goes somewhere else. People say, what'd he do in Cleveland? I mean, Rob Ryan's defense in Cleveland was just starting to grow, doesn't have superstars. You get him here in Dallas. You've got aggressive. You've got DeMarcus Ware, Ratliff to work with. Go out there, and if you can make a trade and get Nasmoa from Oakland and put him at corner. You got it going on, and you with DeMarcus Ware, like I said, with Ratliff, and draft a couple young linebackers. You got something going on. Rob Ryan, I love aggressive. I'm a head coach, I always hire aggressive. Not stupid, but aggressive, and I'm a Rob Ryan fan. And I think Rob Ryan will also at some point possibly get a chance to be a head coach with the success of his brother and his father. You may not like the chatter that the Ryans bring to the table. But you know what? They can coach. And if you're the Dallas Cowboys, I wouldn't mess around with interviewing. I'd take care of it now. Take care of it now. Go get Rob Ryan, and he'll cut it loose. He instills confidence. Go get him. Go get him. And there's no need to wait for it either. There's no need to wait for it. You know, as we look out towards at 888-346-9144 and SeanSals@gmail.com, as we kind of peer out and look at some other situations, I think that John Fox is an outstanding hire for the Denver Broncos. Solid, good football coach. Not a lot of ego involved. Players love him. Coaches will love him. He's loyal. He's hardworking. Elway type of guy. Not flashy. Elway type of guy. And going to a team that's not so far into the tank you can't fix. And he's got more to work with in Denver, far more to work with than he had in Carolina. I'm happy for Foxy, and I think it's a great get. And I think it's one of those that when you bring John in and you sit him down, you just kind of know, hey, you know what you're getting. You know what you're getting with John. There's not a There's not a. Oh my gosh, is this going to be this guy? Is he going to pull the fast on us? You don't have to worry. The flash and dash. The question is now, and the talk is that Kyle Orton, you know, John Fox likes having a veteran on his team. He likes having some youth, but he likes that quarterback position, likes to have a veteran. So does Denver really have to go do anything at the quarterback position? Not sure they do, folks. I'm not sure they have to do much at the quarterback position. Can't they, Kyle Orton and Tebow, compete and then see who wins the job? In my mind, Tebow will be the starter when the season opens. Again, people don't buy it. I know that the rumors out there that people say, well, he's not a John Elway type of guy. I don't know why there's such hatred for Tim Tebow. And I always find it funny that people that don't know the quarterback position, whether it's a fan or something, they just, because they read that some scout or some media so-called expert says Tim Tebow can't play and he wasn't. Those are the same media experts that said Tebow wasn't going to be drafted in the first round or was never going to play a down a quarterback in the NFL. I don't know what it is with this. It's amazing how one thing gets started and all of a sudden it grows and grows and grows that, oh my gosh, this Tebow guy can't play. If he can't play, then Cam Newton can't play. Okay, they can't play. Same player. Pretty much the same player. So if you're an Auburn fan and you're telling me that Cam Newton can play, but you're an Auburn fan and you're telling me Tim Tebow can't play, why? I make the argument that Tim Tebow is the best college football player of all time. You can make that argument with his impact. So I don't know what this, he's not an NFL quarterback. I don't know what that means. Was Drew Brees an NFL quarterback, even though he threw a lot of, just looking at the size, was he? Was Emmitt Smith an NFL running back? Short, slow, not exactly, you know, your most physical guy in the world, but he became, you know, didn't get stopped. All-time leading rusher. So I don't know, the people's infatuation and the NFL's infatuation with this combine camp bullshit. There's a thing called watching a guy be a football player. Is Tebow got a few things to work on? Yeah, and you know what? Elway's not a bad guy to have strolling around the complex to mix a few words in for Tim. Now, John's not a coach, but what John Fox needs to do, not John Elway, is hire a quarterback coach that focuses on Tim Tebow's mechanics. And that doesn't mean change him completely, folks. The greatest thing North Turner ever did was not to try and change Phillip Rivers' hitch. Just to make some adjustments, get the ball out on time. Because Phillip Rivers, apparently with that hitch that people questioned when he came out of college, don't know if he's going to be able to survive in the NFL. Hitch hadn't stopped him, has it? And if you're going to talk about mechanics, then you better go. Then you better take your ass right down to Arkansas, to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and talk to Mallett. All you people that got a hard on over Ryan Mallett because he's got a huge arm. You know what? There's a whole bunch of big arm quarterbacks that are watching on Sunday, just like you and I. And I don't care what Phil Simms or anybody else says. Arm strength is overrated if you can't throw it to the right guy. And rarely in the history of your life will you need to make a 70-yard throw in a game. You can't count five times when a guy's had to. And the only time, most of the time, those things kind of throws happen are at the end of a game Hail Mary where you're at your own 40 and you got to get to the end zone. Or a guy scrambles around for 4 minutes and has to make a throw like McNabb did to Freddie Mitchell years ago for that play that lasted like 12 seconds or something. Other than that, the ball's not in the air 50 yards very often when it comes to just making a play. Matter of fact, if a quarterback throws the ball on a five-step drop on a go route more than 50 yards, he's late with the throw. We've always been taught 45 and 5. 45 yards and 5 yards from the sideline is the perfect deep throw, timing-wise and everything. So all the naysayers on Tim Tebow, you know what, is he ever going to lead the league in passing? No, not his type of style. Is he ever going to lead the league in touchdowns rushing for a quarterback? He might. Is he ever going to be a guy? You guys all said the same thing. Michael Vick couldn't play at the next level. I don't say you guys generalizing. I'm talking about those constant naysayers of the non-typical 6'4", 6'5", 230-pound quarterback. I've seen so many can't-miss quarterbacks that missed big, and I've seen so many no-shot to play who's now a starter, and Tebow will start for the Broncos in 2011. Does that mean he's going to be in the Pro Bowl? Maybe not. But you know what? You can have your stats, folks. I could care less. I want my wins. I want to win football games. I could care less about the stats. And Tebow wins, and you know what? He did have a 300-yard passing game, so well, what's the excuse there? Oh, just was lucky? Or was a bad defense? Well, you know what? Still got to line him up and play him. Yeah, the Seahawks were lucky too, and they're a bad team, but they're obviously second round of the playoffs now. So the constant badgering of Tim Tebow haters, hey, do I look at Tebow and say he's Peyton Manning? Absolutely not. But I'll bet you his players react to him more than most quarterbacks get reaction from their players in the league. He commands and demands respect from the players around him. And you better bring it when you play against him because he's physical. So if you're telling me that Cam Newton can play, you sure as hell better not tell me that Tim Tebow can't. And if you're telling me Tim Tebow's going to be a bust, then you know what? You better not draft Cam Newton in the first round, right? I don't know much, folks. I do know this position. And I know the qualities you have to be a great one. Got to stay healthy. Got to get with the right system. And you got to be with the right coach that knows how to bring out your best. And you better have good players around you. A lot of good quarterbacks with average receivers, you become an average quarterback. And vice versa for the receivers with a good quarterback. So I think that John Fox there, Fox wants to win. He's a tough guy, old school. Tim Tebow, truthfully, although he plays in this new school pistol, run the football, carry it a bunch of times, spread offense at Florida, trying to adjust to the NFL offense and Josh McDaniels when he's there. Truth of the matter is, one thing I know about Tebow is he's a pupil. He likes to learn. It's not like you have to say you're bossing him around and he doesn't take the learn. And there's a lot of guys that would refuse it and be resistant against it. He wants to learn. And so, you know what? The truth of the matter is it's still 52 and a third wide, 100 yards long. And there's still only 11 players on both sides of the ball. So you can only do so much. Tebow's a smart kid. He's a worker, was successful in that conference. And John Fox being old school, John will line him up, do some stuff to his strengths, but they'll also get him in a position to where he can make some throws and do those things. And his arm's plenty strong enough, folks. When I listen to these people talk, well, his arm's not that strong. Not that strong. Well, it's plenty strong enough to survive. His arm's every bit as strong as Steve Young's was playing in the league. Not saying that he's Steve Young, but, you know, we're comparing arm strength. So these guys who have a hard-on for arm strength, you know, let it go. Give me an accurate guy who's a leader over a guy who's got a strong arm and looks pretty in a uniform. I'll kick your ass most of the time. One of the great things Josh McDaniels did was draft Tim Tebow. That's one of the three best things he did in Denver. Same people may be laughing that they did at me 3 years ago when they told me Tebow wasn't a quarterback in the NFL and wasn't going to make it, wasn't going to start, wasn't going to get drafted as a quarterback, that he'd be a tight end or an H-back. I said, okay. Or even an outside linebacker. I said, okay. Then 2 years, said the same thing. And then the year he was, his last year before he was drafted, I said, first-round draft pick. Somebody will take him. There'll be one that falls in love with him. There. And then I said this year, and listening on this show, I said, Tebow will be the starter by the season's end. And I pat myself on the back. I'm just telling you facts. When you talk to people, and I don't just throw shit against the wall and hope it sticks. You talk to people, you talk to sources, and you also judge the guy by what you see. And I'm telling you now, I believe he's the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos in 2011. Unless they trade Kyle Orton to Minnesota and or trade him to Washington, and all of a sudden they decide that they want to get McNabb and have McNabb hold it over for another year or two for Tebow. You never know, that could happen. But the Broncos aren't drafting a first-round quarterback. You can forget that. And I don't believe they're going to go spend the money on some big, huge name. So that being said, you got Orton as your veteran, Tebow as your starter. And John Fox will do the right thing. And Denver Bronco fans, you are going to love him because you're getting a guy who's not Josh McDaniels with young and a little bit of attitude, and you're sure as hell not getting the biggest ego in sports or in football in Mike Shanahan. You're getting a Denver type of guy. Carolina's loss, and I love Ron Rivera, so good for them. Ron will be well too. But Carolina's loss is definitely Denver's gain. And fortunately for Carolina, they replaced a really good man and coach with a guy who I think is going to be good, too, and that's Ron Rivera. Hard-nosed, old school. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Maybe that's the trend now we're getting back to. Old school, line up, punch you in the mouth football. I like it. Voice America Sports, I'm Sean Salisbury. We are unfiltered.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get ready to talk sports with someone who definitely has an opinion, but respects yours as well. The beginning of every week is Crunch Time with Keenan Howery. We'll talk about what happened this weekend and what to look forward to next weekend. Keenan and his guests are ready to discuss the issues with you about football and sports in general. It's Crunch Time with Keenan Howery, every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Sports Channel. And make your voice heard.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot. Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals at gmail.com. That's SEANSALS at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
So to wrap up this Tebow thing, Denver, you got a good one. And I know that some people out there, and I've listened and read and watched it, oh, my gosh, John Fox, did you see what he did in Carolina? Yeah, I saw what he did in Carolina. He took chicken shit and made as much chicken salad out of it as he could. Okay. David Copperfield himself couldn't have doggone used enough magic to coach that team. That team's in a world of hurt until this. You know what, as much as it, the greatest thing that may have happened to Gabbert, too, is are they going to trade down, you know, to try and get him? Or are they going to get Bowers and say, we want another pass rusher to replace Julius Peppers? I've mentioned this before. But they are so bad at that position. Sorry, Notre Dame fans. Love you to death. I love you to death. And you guys thought Matt Leinart was you know, doesn't have a chance or isn't very good. And I'll grant you that right now. I mean, he's in a new system backing up, what, Schaub in Houston. But I can tell you this, he ain't Jimmy Clausen, okay? Jimmy Clausen cannot play. He's not any good. And nothing against Notre Dame, because I love Notre Dame, and I love your head coach now. I'm a Brian Kelly fan, excuse me. But he didn't have to coach Clausen. I'm just sorry to tell you. Jimmy Clausen is no more of an NFL quarterback at this stage of his career than I am at this stage of my career. He ain't that good. And until Carolina finds a quarterback, and I know they gave Matt more money, Matt would be a good backup to have on your team. Matt's a good backup to have. The Carolina Panthers don't have a quarterback that they can count on right now that runs the show, period. You better go find one. Or Ron Rivera will be in major trouble there, too. Major trouble. But Ron will do a good job. So, with you Denver fans, they'll start thinking, trust me, you're getting the best guy you've had as a coach since Dan Reeves left. This is a good man coming to coach your football team who understands football, and I love the hire. Stanford, good job with David Shaw, keeping it pat and knowing going from there so you don't disrupt the flow of football's best quarterback. Heck, Andrew Luck's better than about 18 or 20 of the starters in the NFL right now. Yeah, you heard me say it. Andrew Luck is better, and Andrew Luck's a better prospect than Matt Ryan was coming out. Yep, you heard me say it. Better prospect, and he's a better prospect than Sam Bradford was coming out. Because last year, had Jake Locker come out, Bradford was either going to be the first or second pick. Some thought Jake Locker would be the first pick. So much for experts, huh? Now they got Jake Locker in the 20s, some have him in the teens, some have him the second quarterback. There may be one who has him as the first quarterback. Love Sam Bradford, but Jake Locker a year ago was ranked ahead of Sam Bradford in most scouts and general managers' eyes. And right now, Andrew Luck is better than Sam Bradford. Now, Bradford's got the year of experience, but you should expect amazing things from Andrew Luck. I'd trade, once you get past about number 12 quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in the NFL, I'd trade every single one. I'd trade the next 20 for Andrew Luck if I could do that. I wouldn't trade Rivers for him. So this is what's great, like I said, for Gabbert. Heck, it may be supply and demand. You may have just got yourself a huge bonus because of it. If somebody has the balls to pull the trigger, and there's enough teams in the top 10, 12 picks, that 15 picks that need you. But you go through it now, just for fun, and then I'll get to my game picks. Do you think in San Diego? No, I wouldn't trade Philip Rivers for Luck. Oakland, yes. Kansas City, yes. As good as Matt Castle is, if you told me I could have Andrew Luck instead of Matt Castle, and I'm a Matt Castle, he's an SC guy fan, had a really good year, yes, Luck instead of Castle. Do that same thing right now. Tim Tebow, Matt Castle, of course. As much as I think Tebow's a winner, of course. So there's only one team in the West that I wouldn't trade my quarterback for Andrew Luck. I think Tebow's a winner, but yes, I'd take Luck ahead of him. I think Matt Castle's got a chance to be really good and had at times Pro Bowl numbers. And guess what? I would take Andrew Luck today. And obviously in Oakland, there's no question you'd take him over Jason Campbell. In the AFC South, no, I wouldn't take him over Peyton Manning unless you're building a franchise right now. But Peyton's still got another 5 good 6 years. Yes, I'd take him over anybody in Tennessee. Yes, I'd take him over David Garrard. And yes, I would take him over... Now this is a question. At this very moment, I'd still have Matt Schaub. That's a close one. That's one of those you say, well, can we start Luck now? Can we go? If you had Andrew Luck and Matt Schaub, most people would say take Luck first. But Matt Schaub's a really good player, folks. Underrated football player. I would have to think about that one. That's the one I'd have to think about. Let's see, Luck, who do I have around him? What else am I getting in the deal? Because Matt Schaub has turned into a quarterback that's worth a late first-round pick, I think. I think Matt Schaub's a really good player on an awful defense. In the North, this is another one. Roethlisberger, not at this stage, I wouldn't trade Luck. I mean, people say, what about off? I'm talking about on-the-field football players. No, Flacco would be as similar for me as what's his name, Matt Schaub is. That's a question mark. Carson Palmer, yeah, at this stage, as much as I like Carson Palmer, I would trade Andrew Luck for Carson Palmer. And in Cleveland, as much as I like Colt McCoy, it's a no-brainer. Obviously, you'd take Andrew Luck. And in the East, no, not for Brady. Luck and Sanchez, interesting. Interesting. Would you? That may be the most the one of all. You'd say, And then obviously in Buffalo and Miami, you would. In the NFC, the only guy you wouldn't take him for right now just because you're building on your team is Bradford. All the other three teams, no question. In the NFC North, yes, in Minnesota. I like the Cutler falls into the Matt Schaub category, so you consider that one. Probably wouldn't pull that trigger right now because Cutler's got superstar potential, but what guy's showing up? Minnesota, you would. Detroit, I think, even though I think he's going to be a hell of a player in Matt Stafford, the former first pick, with the injuries, I think right now Detroit, if they said, we'll give you Stafford, so for the right to draft Luck, and we'll give you a couple other players, I think that Detroit would do it. But I do think Matt Stafford, when healthy, he's got a chance to be special. But the injuries have retarded his progress a little bit. And you wouldn't trade Aaron Rodgers for Andrew Luck. You wouldn't. And what do we got? The NFC South, not Matt Ryan, not Drew Brees. Yes, in Carolina. And you probably wouldn't at this stage for Josh Freeman either. That's the best quarterback division in sports. That right there is the best quarterback division. Three teams in that division you wouldn't trade him for. And then finally, in the NFC East, yes, I would take Luck for Eli Manning. Yes, I would take Luck over Tony Romo. Yes, I would take Luck over Donovan McNabb. And probably at this stage, no, I wouldn't take Luck over Michael Vick because he's the potential. So there you have it. What did I name? 10 guys you'd keep over Luck? So that bodes well for the guys that are coming in behind Luck, and a good timing award by Blaine Gabbert to come out. So the draft and where you place a guy and where it goes is important, but that's how good Stanford's got it. So a wise move by David to keep David Shaw, their coordinator, to build this football team instead of going out and getting somebody to completely change. And Chris Peterson would have been a great hire, but they do a different offense, and I don't think you ever want to put your quarterback in that situation that's in that position. And he's smart. And there's a, you know, there would be of those teams I named, like the Matt Schaubs, the Jay Cutlers, and the Joe Flaccos that are on the cusp of, oh, would you take him or would you not take him? There would probably be of those three teams, a Mike Martz or a Gary Kubiak that may say, you know what, I'll take Luck instead. So I'm not even sure, or John Harbaugh, who obviously is Jim's brother, and if Jim called him up, it's a dude. As much as I like Joe. Joe ain't Andrew Luck. So you possibly could have seen that move. So right now, as we speak today, Andrew Luck starts for 20 teams in the league today. And he's actually got 2 years left of college if he wants them. He's a redshirt sophomore. Smart, tough, fast, physical football family, great system. And now, coach, and the point of all this is the coach – they didn't have to change anything, and Andrew Luck can take a deep breath this offseason, enjoy his academics, have fun, look at the ladies, prepare himself physically and mentally to get ready, but doesn't have to look into a new playbook. It's a comforting feeling. I still don't understand why teams like UConn that hired Paul Pasqualoni, who I like, Paul had success, Northeast guy, and Mike Leach isn't. And I know I'm an endorser for Leach. I'm only endorser for Leach because, you know what, and Mike's weird. Mike's not a great interview. When it comes to going and interviewing people, Mike has a different approach. He's a weird bird. I've told him about it. You guys know that. Mike's not the type of guy who's going to be slick in his pocket square and come in and be able to sell you on what a great salesman he is. Mike sells you on the fact that he wins and graduates people. That's what Mike does. Skins a cat different than others do, but he does. But I don't understand why a university like Tulsa doesn't even touch him. That's a good program. But you're telling me that they couldn't put 10 more thousand seats, butts in the seat, or 8 more thousand, or 10, and increase their facilities with the alumni if Mike Leach was their coach? And Mike would do it at this stage. People say, well, would Mike take it? Mike's going to have to take 2 steps back to take a step forward. It's obvious that he was qualified at Florida, qualified at Miami, qualified to be Pitt's head coach. He's qualified to be Michigan's coach, all those things, with his record. But you know what? They've labeled him untouchable right now for some reason because of this lawsuit at Texas Tech. Fine. Mike's loyal to his wife. He just had some issues with a player. The lawsuit's going on. And a university that fired him and was about to have to pay him like, what, $1.8 million, and conveniently got rid of him. So there you have it. Does that mean he can't coach, recruit, and or graduate players? Absolutely not. That's the baggage that I can overcome. I'm not sure you can overcome an abusive coach, when I say abusive, that beats his wife, or overcome a drug addict coach. Mike's neither one of those. Not saying the other programs have those guys either. Unfortunately for Mike Haywood, who was on his way to Pitt, domestic violence got him fired after a short stint as the head coach at Pitt, which is too bad. But unfortunately, you better make sure that... you got to make sure that you control those things. You feel bad for Mike, but you know what? Obviously, he needs help with that, too, unless we're completely wrong and the truth comes out that Mike got screwed. Who knows? Mike Haywood. But Mike Leach, if you're Tulsa, aren't you saying, damn, let's go grab this guy for 3 years. 4 years. Go grab him. And according to, with this in mind, Mike is going to have to take 2 steps back to get to that bigger job again. But right now, if you're Tulsa and you're in Oklahoma, Mike used to coach at the University of Oklahoma, aren't you saying, screw all this. Let's go get the name with the result. Probably not going to happen. Mike's probably going to have to sit out this year. But if you're a Tulsa alum, you ought to call your people and say, what are you waiting on? Lawsuit doesn't mean it's baggage and make Mike Leach a bad guy. Trying to protect his life and his money. Can't blame him. It's Voice America Sports. We're coming back with my game picks for the weekend and a reason why. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're Unfiltered.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Get ready to go inside the minds and behind the scenes with the top professional athletes, celebrities, and music entertainers. It's a sports show like no other.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real with former NFL wide receiver Jairus McIntyre is real talk with in-depth interviews, topical discussions, and a whole lot of comedy. You'll hear from the entertainers, the athletes, and the fans.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real with Jairus McIntyre is broadcast live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time. On the Voice America Sports Channel.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need a bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Yeah. About 17 seconds ago, I just got some inside information that Tulsa hires ex-Union coach Bill Blankenship as its head football coach. Who's Bill Blankenship? If anybody knows who this guy is, okay, let's weigh this. Bill Blankenship, Mike Leach, Bill Blankenship, Mike Leach. I'm sure Bill's a good coach. I don't know who he is or where he comes from. I leave that to Mel Kiper. Bill Blankenship is Tulsa's new head football coach. Who's Bill Blankenship? Somebody tell me. 888-346-9144. So basically the coaching carousel for the most part's over. My man Mike Leach will miss out unless somebody hires him as a coordinator, if that's what Mike wants to do. I don't know. So ex-Union, and what union are we talking about? Mount Union? Union High School? So no, I don't know who that is. Bill Blankenship, Tulsa, is your new football coach. So I'd love to sit here on this show. See, well, at least one thing I am is true. I'll tell you what I do know. I'll tell you if some other people know something. I'll tell you if I'll give you facts. I'll give you opinion. I'll give you complete honesty and inside information that I know when it comes to football. I don't give up sources. I'll give you opinion hardcore with passion and preparation and knowledge. But I'll also be the first to tell you when I have no clue. Because you know what? I think the best thing is when you have no clue, ask somebody or get somebody who does. So I'm not familiar, never heard of, don't know anything about Bill Blankenship's background as the head coach for the Tulsa football program. Now, does he turn out to be a hot commodity? Maybe, I guess. I don't know him. Now, I'm sure that there's some people scrambling around Tulsa and the fans. Now, I don't know. Does Bill Blankenship all of a sudden fill Tulsa's football program stadium up? Because while people say, isn't it just about winning? Sure it is. But you know what? Unfortunately, college football is all about money, too. Why do you think they add on to stadiums, build new facilities? Because the alumni give money. And when the alumni give money, that means the alumni is happy. And when the alumni is happy, that means most programs, your football program, or at Kansas, your basketball program, at Duke, your basketball program, are winning. Tulsa is a good program. Tulsa, Oklahoma is a good place. It's not a booming metropolis, but it's a nice place. Good universities, produce some good players and good coaches from the past. But my next question, if you're an alumni of Tulsa or a fan, does this make you take your season tickets and just multiply them by 3 years? Say, this is exactly what I was hoping for. So if anybody knows, because I'm not going to take the time to even look it up right now, sorry, who Tulsa's Bill Blankenship is, you college football phenoms that know the third tight end at Bowling Green and the backup running back at Kent State, you let me know. Because I don't know and I don't care, but I do want to know exactly why Tulsa is hiring Bill Blankenship and if there's a background to it or if he's an alumni. I'm just curious. 888-346-9144. Or maybe you guys are like me and that's why there's no email on it from anybody. You don't know either. Maybe you don't know either. To the NFL. I don't like the comfort zone of a lot of these picks. I don't like the comfort zone. Comfort zone meaning there's some danger games in these picks, and all hey, in the playoffs at this time are obviously all eight teams in it can win. There's no question. There is no question. Some got a better chance than others. In the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, start there. I don't think that home field advantage matters in this game. I really don't. When you play as physical as both these teams, and I'm taking Baltimore in the game. And the reason why, folks, is I picked Baltimore last August. And if it was Baltimore versus New England this week, even though I picked Baltimore last August, I would state it and say that's my team that I picked to go to the Super Bowl. But I think the Patriots are going to win if, in fact, they were playing the Patriots. I'll always be fair and honest with that. I don't waffle on my picks. I can tell you now, Baltimore and Green Bay were my picks in the preseason. They were my picks when the preseason started. And I'll stick by it. And there's plenty of times when you say, oh, is Flacco Super Bowl ready? And, oh, my gosh, can Aaron Rodgers carry a team when Ryan Grant and the injuries happen? And Al Harris out for the season, and now he's gone. I mean, of course, you ask all those, but I can't waver from that. But I'm not just picking Baltimore just because of the team I picked at the beginning of the season. I would say that Baltimore is my team that I picked at the beginning of the season, but I'll take Pittsburgh in the game. This, to me, is a 6-1, half dozen in the other. They're mirror images of each other football physicality-wise. They will beat your brains in and let you know about it. They're relentless. They both are physical running the football. They both have tall quarterbacks, big, tall quarterbacks with big arms who can make a play. The difference between Flacco and Joe's not a bad runner for a big guy, pretty athletic. The difference is Ben's a better at extending the play and is one of the best at extending the play along with Aaron Rodgers and Michael Vick in this league, period. And nobody that size, with Ben's size, have I ever seen could extend a play with 6'5", 6'5 and a half, 255 pounds or whatever Ben is. He says I don't believe he's much lighter than that, 250. It's all in his jolly jaws. But he's a player. He's a gamer. Ben can go 20 out of 34. Ben can go 12 out of 25 and still beat you with a few plays. Pittsburgh's physical. They got right now, in my opinion, aside from Clay Matthews, the biggest game-impact, game-changing defensive player in the league is Troy Polamalu. Now, on the other side, going through the situation he is with his family, Ed Reed, I think Ed Reed may be the best football player in the NFL. No better ball hawk I've ever seen playing that when the ball's in his hands, good things happen. So you could take Suggs, as good a pass rusher as we have in the league, and relentless talker. The running game, similar. They'll pound the inside. Look to get to the next level. Secondaries, you can make some big plays on them, but they also have guys that when you make the catch, you get punished for it. Both groups have explosive linebackers. James Harrison. You know, we talk about Polamalu and we talk about Clay Matthews. You want to talk about a guy, he'll get fined $100,000 in a game if that's what it takes to win. He doesn't care. And we could keep talking to Suggs and Ray Lewis. Ray, the best leader on the field in this game. Polamalu, we go through these names, and we forget that James Harrison is a former Defensive Player of the Year. And what, last year was Woodson. I think the year before must have been Harrison, or he was either in first or second. I think he won it. So this is a game filled with superstars with Hall of Fame potential on the field. And that being said, it's going to come down to two things. It's going to come down to a special teams field goal or a kick, because this is not a 31-10 game. It's just not. It will not come down to that. So the question is, field goal kicker at Heinz Field, Billy, and the kicking advantage has to go to the Baltimore Ravens with Cook and Cundiff. The kicking advantage. Now the return advantage, we'll see. There'll be some play in there that happens. And the other thing is really going to be simple. Quarterbacks, you're going to get hit. You're going to get hit. Do you lay it on the ground? Can you protect the football throwing it? Do you force it? Do you know when it's 3rd and 6 and you're about to get hit by Suggs to tuck the ball away and take that sack and punt it away? Or do you try to do something stupid, swing the ball around, and then cause a fumble and give the Baltimore Ravens 40 yards or the Pittsburgh Steelers a 40-yard short field? You watch it, folks. It will happen. Or do you catch a ball in the flat and allow James Harrison to come from behind and strip you of the ball and leave it on the ground where your guy picks it up? So that's what's going on in this game. Low-scoring game, I believe. Some side note, can Mike Wallace get by and make big plays in the secondary? Can Joe Flacco find Anquan Boldin? See, I would get Anquan Boldin the ball early in the game because he is as good a run-after-the-catch player we have. I'm going to take Baltimore in a game that's 20-17, 17-14, 17-10, 17-13, 13-10. If it gets up into the upper 20s, I'll be shocked, but it is the playoffs. But a grinded-out physical nature, a lot of pushing and shoving on the field going on in this game. And you know what? At some time in this game, I believe somebody will do something stupid, a late hit, a personal foul that will change field position. You watch. Whether it's on a receiver, somebody, there's a couple guys, I mean, and right now the two you think, can Suggs and or James Harrison find a way to control their emotions in the game? Not sure they can, but we'll see. Makes for a hell of a battle. I'm telling you, you'll be black and blue in your living room. Excuse me. Like I've said before, no cough or sneeze button. You'll be black and blue in your living room watching this football game. The Green Bay Packers and the Atlanta Falcons. I'm taking Green Bay. They're my pick. I think Green Bay can go win. This isn't just because they're my pick. I like Green Bay. I think they're a better team. Atlanta's record's better. Had Green Bay had most, they were the second most injured team in the league and still got where they're at. Had they not been, I believe Green Bay would be in a 13-3, 12-4 season as well. Atlanta's the most, nobody talks about them for the most part unless you're an Atlanta fan or in that town. Understated, no flashy guys. But two special quarterbacks in the game. Atlanta obviously runs the ball better, but Green Bay proved they could run it last week. It's going to come down. I think Atlanta's defense won't make as many plays as Green Bay's will. And I think the problem with that you hang around in close games, and then you put yourself in a position to allow somebody to take care of it and allow a defensive special guy to make a play. I just think that Green Bay can take out Roddy White with their secondary. And I don't think that Atlanta can prevent Aaron Rodgers from throwing the ball with Driver and with tight ends and with screens and with Greg Jennings. I think that's where the advantage is, and I'm taking Green Bay to go on the road and win. And this game wouldn't shock me if it was 27-24, 31-27. but I think that the Green Bay will get a stop on defense before they will, before Atlanta will. Tough. Got a great Falcons fans are going to be going nuts. I have a lot of respect for this team. I just think the Green Bay Packers have been through far more adversity, and I think it's going to help them. And I actually think the bye week's going to hurt Atlanta. I think Green Bay feels great about itself after what they did running Aaron Rodgers throwing and the defense they played last week. I think Atlanta 13-3, while they know they're a good team, they still got to wonder how they're going to come out. Are they going to come out fast? Are they going to, is it going to take them two quarters to mix in? What'll happen? Is their offense going to take too long to get started? SEC girl, thank you. Blankenship hasn't been named head coach yet. Yes, it's happening. Former QB at the U. Not only former QB at TU. I'm not sure what, is that Texas Union? So not at the U, at TU. That's about as much info. TU has been with TU for four seasons. Before that, at Union High School. This is laugh out loud, unbelievable. So if he was a QB at the U or a QB at TU, maybe that's the U. I don't know. I don't know where it is. But Union High School, I guess? Is that why people in Tulsa are saying it? Blankenship over Mike Leach. Huh. Thank you, SEC girls. So he hasn't been named, but he will be, and he's a former quarterback. But now he's going to be the head coach of Tulsa. Sorry, Tulsa. I hope it works out for you. You had a better coach waiting on you and would have put his asses in the stands. We'll be back. Two more games to pick. There is not a whole lot of, at Tulsa U. He was a quarterback at Tulsa U, not Miami. Thank you, SEC girl. So he coached at Tulsa, he quarterbacked at Tulsa U. At UNC, TU, who knows? I don't even know what that means, but Tulsa U. There you go. University of Tulsa, Tulsa University. Thank you, SEC girl. You're smarter than I am. And he played at Union High, I guess, in Tulsa. So they're keeping it local. No offense. He ain't better than Mike Leach. Tulsa obviously doesn't want to fill up the stands unless this guy's Moses and can get him in the stands. We'll be back. I don't think I'm going to be the quarterback coach at Tulsa this year. I'm Sean Salisbury.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SEANSALS at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
So to clear this up, Bill Blankenship played at Union High School, and I know people in that neck of the country call their university the U at Tulsa. I screwed that up, but TU, the U, for all those of us that, you know, cover it, think the U is always Miami. But my bad. But he played at Union High, or coached at Union High School, played in town, I guess, played at quarterback at TU, Tulsa University, and is an assistant on their staff the last 4 years, press conference at 2 for him to be named head coach. He's been at the Tulsa staff the last 4 years, so they decided to stay in-house. They must think very highly of him, and I wasn't disrespecting him at all. I just didn't. I'd never heard of him. I didn't know who he was. So he's going to take over the head coaching reins, and that's nice. You know, that's what assistant coaches do. They put themselves in a position and hope that the university sees enough at him so they move in. I'm happy for him. Very happy for him. I don't know, you know, why you don't even give a guy like Leach a look, but I'm very happy for Blankenship because, like I say always, we don't always have to hire the big name. You got to hire the guy who gives you the best chance that you believe in. And you know what? At one point, John Gruden, Tony Dungy, Steve Mariucci, Bill Cowher, nobody knew who they were either. Retreads can be good, but every now and then, new blood's just as good. So far, I got Baltimore going into Pittsburgh and winning. I got Green Bay going into Atlanta and winning. The Jets and New England. I watched Herman Edwards today. He said he thinks the Jets are going to be able to make enough plays to win. I don't. I've stated on here before, if I got five coaches I love in this league, Rex Ryan's at the top. I don't always agree with what Rex says, but you know what? I don't make it personal. I don't always agree, but you know what? I love his enthusiasm. I love the fact that he loves his players. So he may not like it, but in that locker room, Rex Ryan doesn't care because he's backing those players 100%, and he always will. That's what a good coach does. Is he supposed to love Tom Brady more than he loves Mark Sanchez? Absolutely not. They talk it. Now, the reason they can talk it is because they actually are really, really good. Secondary is really good. They know how to run the football. They'll hit you. They'll be aggressive. They force turnovers. They can control the clock. What Sanchez is showing up, folks? Which one? That's the great question in this one. What Sanchez is showing up? Because they can good offensive line. Mangold's a Pro Bowler. DeBrickashaw Ferguson. They run it. They can control clock. Time of possession will be important in this game because Brady wants the ball on the field. And they want to grind it out. It's not exactly like New England's defense is the 2000 Ravens, so they can be scored on. Although they've played better as the year goes on, no question. So what Sanchez shows up, keep that in mind. I know that's simple, but it really is. In the playoffs, it's all about that. For New England, guys, I you know what? While defense, you may be able to throw the ball on them a lot and make some plays in the secondary, but Belichick spends his life based on confusion. Not just trying to confuse a young quarterback like Sanchez, but confusing an offensive line and protections and running backs and who to block, who to get, how to get them. That's what their defense is based on, confusion. And Bill will have plenty for Mark Sanchez. The, you know, Schottenheimer will call plays and Brian will empty the bucket at times, but this is a guy who will play it close to the vest, and just when you don't think it is, he'll take his shots. With Holmes and Edwards, they've got some big playability at wide receiver. So they've got it good. So when you look at it all, where's the one inconsistency that you wonder about the Jets? 1 week, Mark Sanchez is coming into his own and he's explosive. The next week, he's 17 of 44 and can't throw up. We'll see how he is under pressure this week and confusion. New England, like I said, secondary, I mean, throwing the ball on them, you can do. But they can control the line of scrimmage. They'll create a lot of different looks for you. Wolfolk could dominate you up front. A lot of different looks by New England to try and get Sanchez to check out of plays he shouldn't check out of and to check into plays that he didn't need to check into. New England, on the other hand, Wes Welker and, you know, Woodhead and mix in the tight ends. And, oh, by the way, they got Tom Brady. Deion Branch back playing like a star again. The only way that the Jets win is hit Tom Brady. If Tom Brady is not getting abused, I don't mean sacked. I'm talking about just getting hit. Relentless pressure. If you don't, the Jets have no shot. And I don't care how good Darrelle Revis is. Because if you give Tom Brady 4 seconds to throw, Revis can't stick with the receiver for that long. No corner can. the greatest thing you have. Now, some argue, do you build a defense outside in or inside out? Some say that you have to have great corners in order to be a great blitzing pressure team. And I would agree with that. If you don't have corners that can single cover and take a guy out of a game, then you obviously can't blitz because you put your guys on an island with no help. Well, the Jets have great corners. The other side of that is, though, if you're not creating pressure with that blitz and you can't get pressure with just four, Tom Brady will punish you. If you have to get pressure the whole game by blitzing, they'll eventually catch on. And if you are blitzing five and six guys and emptying the bucket, you better get to him. Because even Revis and it can be had. We saw earlier this year when Revis pulled up with a hamstring in the end zone that one game. Moss, who's not on the team but ran right by him. Great throw by Brady, touchdown. So the good ones do get beat. It's all going to come down to two things. Can you pressure Tom Brady? Can the offensive line keep Tom Brady standing upright? The best mechanical – I've never seen a quarterback with better mechanics in the history of this game. I've never seen – I mean, the guy's competitive. He gets after it. He knows what he's doing. And when you've got the best coach, the best team, and the best quarterback, and you're at home, advantage Patriots. I'm taking New England. And it comes down to this. All things – if everybody plays their best, who do you like better in the game? Brady or Sanchez? I'll go with Brady. And I don't think this game comes down to a last-second field goal. I think the Patriots win the game. Chicago and Seattle, folks, Chicago, I said yesterday, I feel like I'm going to pick Chicago. Chicago's a better team. Chicago, and this is a pick that, you know what, I don't believe I'm right on this pick, but I'm going to go out on a limb anyway. Maybe it's because I want to see it. The Bears are a better team. The Bears should win. How about I just pick the Seahawks in an upset? Just on the simple fact they got the balls to kick to Hester, which means to tell me that Pete Carroll believes in his team. Chicago's been off a couple weeks. Chicago's a far better defense. Chicago's a far better offense. Chicago's got far better special teams. That being said, it's so obvious the Bears should win. I'm going to take the Seahawks in an upset. I fully expect to come back here on Monday saying, Sean, you knew you were wrong. Why'd you do it? But I'm just going to play the momentum train and say that the Seattle Seahawks find a way to stay in it. And that the fact that they played last week, the momentum carries over for them. And they get a couple interceptions in the game and win. When I come back here on Monday, you can slap me in the face and say, Sean, you knew Chicago was going to win, and you're right. But I'm going to take Seattle in an upset just because I'd kind of like to see what the hell the NFL and the world are going to do if the Seahawks are in the NFC Championship game. Good luck to all eight teams involved. That's what makes it great, man. Love it. And you know what? All eight are worthy, and they've proven it in the first round and because of the bye week. I love this weekend of football. I'm Sean Salisbury. We are unfiltered. We will see you on Monday. Have yourself a spectacular weekend. I appreciate you, and I'm grateful for you. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 10 a.m. in the East, 7 a.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.